How should we as Christians feel when we're persecuted? How should we feel when people unnecessarily and unfairly criticize us? How should we feel when people mistreat us simply because we're Christians and because we're trying to live the Christian life and because especially we believe the Bible and we stand up for it? How should we feel about that when people reject us? Well, Jesus answers that in Luke chapter 6, verse 22 and 23, when he said, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy." Now, there's what Jesus says to do. Here's how Jesus says to feel about that. He doesn't say to feel down and dejected. He doesn't say to be depressed about it. He doesn't say to be ashamed of the fact and embarrassed about the fact that people are opposing you simply because you are a Christian. He says rejoice. He says to leap for joy. And he says there are two reasons for that. Number one, he says, "For behold, your reward is great in heaven." See, the reward of a child of God is not here on this earth. Our reward is not having everybody to like us. The reward of Christian people is not being popular with the world. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 13, "Marvel not if the world hate you." Don't be surprised, don't be shocked if the world hates you. So Jesus said, your reward is great. And your reward is in heaven. So he says, be glad about this. Rejoice in the fact, not because of the pain that you're experiencing, but because of the fact that you've got a reward in heaven that he says is great. Number two, he says, leap for joy. Rejoice in that day, because also in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Now, he's talking about the ancestors of these Jewish people. And he says that the unbelieving, the unfaithful ancestors of these Jews did the same things to the prophets of God. They hated them. They said evil things about them. They would not have anything to do with them. They despised even the mentioning of the name of these prophets. So Jesus said, mark it down. If you are persecuted because you're being a righteous person in Jesus Christ, if you are persecuted because you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are in good company. You're in the company of the prophets of the Old Testament. Now, what an encouraging thing that is. You see, what Jesus is saying is this. If you want to have everybody to like you, then just compromise the gospel. Just go along with everybody. And then everybody is going to sing your praises. But if you want to be like the prophets of God in the Old Testament, if you want to be in their category, then you stand up for what's right and you do what's right. And what's going to come with that, the price that you're going to have to pay, is that people are not going to appreciate you. As a matter of fact, some people are going to despise you and say every evil thing about you that they can think of. Now, that's part of the cost of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, turn back with me and read from Matthew chapter 5, because here Jesus is talking about the same thing. And here's what he says beginning in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake." Now, again, he's not talking about just anybody and everybody that is mistreated or evil spoken of for any reason whatsoever. He's talking about being persecuted for righteousness' sake, because he says, "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye," verse 11, "when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Now again, folks, that is going to happen to a child of God. It is going to happen to any congregation that is trying to do what's right. Now, there's no perfect Christian, and there's no perfect congregation. But when a child of God or when a congregation tries as best they can to consistently follow the will of God, They are going to be criticized. They are going to be persecuted. They're going to be misrepresented. And like Jesus said here, people are going to say all manner, that is, all kinds of evil things against you falsely. And I might add there that sometimes people will make up things that don't even make sense. They don't have any foundation. There's no proof about what they're saying. But they will say things against Christian people that are absolutely ludicrous and ridiculous. And this is what Jesus warned about. He said they will say all kinds of evil things against you falsely for my sake. Well, what does Jesus say in Matthew chapter 5 about how we should feel about that? How should we react? He says in verse 12, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Now let's think about those Old Testament prophets. If there ever was an example of persecution, it was the Old Testament prophets. Now think with me just for a minute about one of those prophets, Elijah. Elijah was a faithful child of God. He had to go in hiding from King Ahab because King Ahab was trying to kill him. Well, the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 18 that finally, Ahab met with Elijah. Now remember that Ahab was a very wicked king. He was very evil. This man took the nation of Israel into idolatry. And if his wife could be any worse than he was, then she was certainly that. Her name was Jezebel, of course. Well, the interesting thing that happens in 1 Kings chapter 18 is that Elijah and King Ahab finally meet. Now, this has been about 3.5 years, and there's been a great drought throughout all the land, and Ahab is upset with Elijah because of this drought. So the Bible says that this idolatrous, evil king, Ahab, comes to the prophet Elijah, and here's what he said. He said in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 17, "Are you he that troubles Israel? Are you the one troubling Israel?" Now imagine that, folks. Imagine the audacity of a man as wicked as Ahab was looking at a prophet of God and saying, "You're the one causing all the trouble." How much more backward can anybody be in an accusation than that? Ahab is the one that's causing the trouble. Ahab is the one who's actually troubling Israel. And that's exactly what Elijah said to him. He said, "It's not me, it's you. You're the one that's troubling Israel because you've led the nation into idolatry." So Elijah is a man that is persecuted. And also in that chapter, the interesting thing in 1 Kings chapter 18 is that there was a servant of King Ahab who was taking bread and water to 100 other prophets who were hiding in a cave. They were hiding there because they were afraid of King Ahab and his wife Jezebel because they were killing the prophets of God. It was a dangerous time in Israel when Ahab was on the throne to be a prophet of God. Now let's think about another prophet of God in the Old Testament. His name was Jeremiah. If there was a man in the Old Testament that knew what persecution was about, Jeremiah certainly did. And sometimes that persecution did discourage him. You see, these prophets were men. They were men just like we are. They had feelings just like we do. And sometimes when they were persecuted, sometimes when people were saying all kinds of evil things about them, it got to them. And in Jeremiah chapter 20, beginning in verse 7, Jeremiah talks about that. He says, "O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocks me." Everybody's talking against me. You see, Jeremiah was not the kind of preacher who went out and preached, and everybody just talked and bragged about him and talked about what a good guy he was and what a great job in preaching he did. He was not a popular man. He was not a best-selling author. He was not a man who was highly praised and recognized as being a prophet of God in his day. The people did not like Jeremiah, and especially the high-ranking people. He said that everybody was mocking him or making fun of him. In verse 8 he said, "For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily." You see, they were not mocking Jeremiah because of his personality. They were not making fun of him and criticizing him because of the way that he looked or for some other reason like that. They were mocking him and criticizing him because of his preaching. It was not because he was preaching something false. It was because he was preaching the truth to these people. He told them what they needed to hear, and as a result, they persecuted him. Now, let me give you an example before I keep reading there from Jeremiah chapter 20. Let me give you an example of the kind of thing that Jeremiah preached that these people did not want because many of them appeared to be religious, and they talked like they were religious, but they were actually hypocrites. In Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 2, God told Jeremiah to go and stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there the word of God. And Jeremiah did. He said in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 4, "Trust you not in lying words, saying, 'The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these.'" In other words, those Jews would go around saying, "Well, we have the temple. We don't have to worry about anything." And then Jeremiah goes on, and he says this in verse 9 of Jeremiah chapter 7, "Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not, and come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and say, 'We are delivered to do all these abominations?'" Jeremiah says to these Jewish people, "Will you dare to get out here and steal and commit adultery and lie and then come before God at his house?" Now, many of these people didn't like that kind of preaching because it hit them squarely between the eyes. And so they resented Jeremiah. They hated him. And as a matter of fact, they wanted him dead. So they continued to criticize Jeremiah and make fun of him to the point that Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9, that he finally made up his mind, "I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name." In other words, he decided to quit preaching. But that's not the end of the story. Because he said no sooner than he had thought about quitting, that he would just give up because people were not listening to him, he said, "But his word," that is God's word, "was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing," that is, I was tired of holding it back, "and I could not stay," that is, I could not hold it back. That's what we need today in Christian people. We need Christian people with fire in their bones, that is, the Word of God, like fire in their bones, so that they cannot hold it back. They have to speak it. Well, in Luke chapter 6, Jesus said, "If you face that kind of persecution, and you will as a child of God, because the Bible says all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution," 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, Jesus said, "Be glad, rejoice, because you're in good company, because the prophets of God in the Old Testament were treated in exactly the same kind of way for teaching the truth of God's Word." Well, thank you folks for tuning in today. It's been a pleasure to study with you, and we're going to talk more about this subject tomorrow, Lord willing, on Words of Faith. Have a great rest of the day.